the but as I said in committee and et cetera, I was moving toward let's make this a community thing rather than, you know, a shared thing. I think you've done really great, but open it up and see if it can become community oriented, you know, where we could involve everybody in the process. And I think they bought into that because we moved in 1996, 1997 toward activities where it was expanded to include the community of caring. And in moving along in the story, in 1998, it's the same year that Lyman came on with the town of Cary. He came to our meeting and he said, you know, we've been watching you, the Martin Luther King Committee, and you've planned some really great programs. How about, you know, we partner up with one another to provide an MLK celebration for the town of Cary. Well, at that point, we had established the Dream Fest handle. That's what I want to call it. And so they took it to council, and Jess Ward was on the council at that point, and he was also a member of the board of on our board and on our committee. So they met, they did their decision making process, and in that year they agreed, the town brought on that they would be they would partner with the MLK task force, and we've been doing it. And so in 1999 it was the first year of our partnership, actually. And we've been doing it ever since, you know. And it becomes known as the MLK Junior Dream Fest activity, you know, the Dream Fest. It's taking on the number of the year or whatever. And that very first year, we did an 8-day celebration.
Wow.
Wow is not the word.
Oh my God! You know, I'm telling you, I was younger then, but even that was it was quite something. It was a lot to man and to handle and to orchestrate. So we decided that we wouldn't do that. We moved to a weekend. We broke it down to the weekend. And the weekend is what we primarily tried to stick with since then. Only in these past few years, because of the entertainment and how we were trying to orchestrate it and getting people in, we've had to stretch it out a little bit more. And then the past 2 years, we added a celebration on his birthday, which we hadn't been doing before. And that entails 2 events for this year, where it was 1 last year. We moved to a luncheon thing this year, which was really good. And I think we might want to perfect that or try that. And as in over all these years, you know, you can do a thing annually, but it never ceases to amaze me how many people say, oh, you have a celebration in Cary? You have an MLK celebration in Cary? After all of the publicity, all of the emails, all the blitzes, all of the whatever, there's still many of us here who say, I didn't realize we had an MLK. This is the 11th year. This year was the 11th year. So anyway, so that says to me that you have to do a thing over and over and over again for people to get it and for it to grow. But anyway, so it has broken down to, in that first year when we started, we had a dream. We called it Dream of Inspiration, which was our musical celebration. Every event had a dream thing, and it still carries over to this day. Dream of History, Dream of Expression is the art exhibit that goes up annual every year. These are all the parts of MLK. And always in the past, we started with the musical event. And so in the past 3 years, I think, and maybe 4, we combine what was once one song, an independent activity, in with the Marvelous Music Series, and then
we brought the, we called it a one-song review, so we brought one song, and we do that as the pre-performance to the kickoff, as the kickoff event for DreamFest annually. This year we're probably going to do something a little different, but that's what we've done for the past 3 to 4 years, and that worked out really grand. Did you come to the Fisk Jubilee Singers event? Did
no,
you make that?
No.
It was awesome.
Was it?
Yes, it really was. And we had a sold-out event. It was a full house. Anyway, but even when we had the one-song event as an independent, a request went out to, an invite went out to the world. I call it the world. I just go to the world thing because I always, it is, for me, I like to plan activities that are for everybody, anywhere. Nobody's excluded. Family friendly, you know, the whole nine yards. And I also like intergenerational things. So kids as well, you know, now lots of adults can't go there in their mind, and I say that because it doesn't manifest itself, you know, in real life. But really, from my perspective, your kids can sing. They can sing. They can stand here with you. They can be a part of this. I am not excluding them from this. So they usually get excluded by the parents, not by me. Anyway, they were invited to bring one song to the occasion. And for over 7 years, all I knew about the people who said yes and signed up was their name, their group, how many was in that group, and what they were going to perform. But I will tell you, Peggy, God has to be a power greater than me. Excellent.
Really?
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
So you didn't hear them ahead of time?
No! On the night they came for, what do you call it?
A rehearsal?
The call.
Oh.
They had to be there by 5 o'clock if they were going to perform, and then maybe, you know, but I was so busy orchestrating, you know, you're not really listening to anybody. And every time I came to the mic, I have to say, when you hear him, I hear him, you know. And I said, you know, I have never, to this day, we have never been disappointed. The spirit, how the things meld together. Now, I always had a cameo performance, so it all else fell apart. There was a professional somewhere in the lot. That was a part of the plan. But it didn't matter. The caliber, the material, the execution was excellent, excellent, excellent. Now, always, and for over all these years, it has been something else to get audience. I mean, these are free things, you know. You know, they pay $18 to come to the Marvelous Music Series. We've got the same thing down the street, you know, for free. And very few people, you know, attended. We'd wind up with all participants. The participants were there, but not. And then when we had large groups, choirs, their parents would come. You know, but as far as like the world attending, because it's a nice event to attend, you know, that didn't happen. So when we had an opportunity to mesh with the Marvelous Music Series, I said, well, why not? We've had to drum up an audience for, you know, where we are. It's a lot of work, and gathering people together is a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Let's give it a try. So then it became, I turned around and said, so for all those people who had supported the events over the years, they received the same invitation, and what I'm asking you to do is to come and let's join together as a community choir, Vision United Singers is what I call them, and perform this one piece that everybody gets, and, you know, you learn your piece, either as a choir, as an individual, or whatever, and we have one mass rehearsal. And that rehearsal will put it together first, you know, that and the Holy Spirit. And then we get to rehearse and for call, because you're always about an hour out on call. And that's it. And then we perform our piece in the, you know, at the beginning as a pre-performance for the event that's happening. Fantastic, really.
Aww.
And what I also think is fantastic is the number and the of people. I've been trying to get to 100. I haven't gotten to 100 yet, but we had 44 performers this year as the Vision United singers, and I think it was maybe 7 Vision United dancers. I have the theme, the one song is a theme, is the theme of that, and that's usually danced every year. And then we bring the one song, which winds up being something unifying. It, you know, like the song this year was Miracles, and it talked about the things we need to do in the world. You know, there's stuff going on in the world, but just let me do what I can for those who come within my reach, because that's the way miracles happen. You know, something. I'm doing a very bad job of paraphrasing it, but you get the idea. So that was, so it has a meaning. And I feel like we need to leave our audience, when we get the chance, our captive audience, with a message about what this whole thing is all about. So the song for last year was Make Us One. And then one year we actually sang the one song, and the dancers danced to the one song. But it's, you know, if we all sang one song, what a wonderful world it would be. So, you know, that's the kind of message we do in our one song that we bring. Anyway, so I'm looking forward to Spirit deciding what our song for next year is going to be. and maybe we'll even get to do more than one song, you know. I don't know. It sounds like it from my first meeting with the town. We met last week to do Exit, you know, to do the Exit for Dreamfest 2009, and then to begin. We always work, as soon as that is over, we start working on the next year. You're right. It takes a year to kind of get it together. It really does. I don't know that people understand the labor of love. Anyway, we keep working on it. We keep perfecting. We keep doing what we can do. And this year, the two town reps who, you know, because it's set up that there is the program and specialist who works with all of the diverse groups, I being one, Ujima, the Hum Sub, you know, etc. So he is the liaison in our working relationship. So he was new this year, had never done a Dream Fest before. And also his supervisor, Chris Carmichael, is new, you know. Mm-hmm. So when Lyman asked in our meeting, he says, you know, this is the one year, the first year we can get a fresh perspective. I'm really interested in hearing, you know, what you think, what you, and I was sitting back listening too. And Chris said, they were excited. I think they liked the work process, the plan, et cetera. We worked very, in fact, I enjoyed working with them. I had to say that before I came out of this meeting. But Chris said that, you know, there were several poignant, I like that word, that's very, very deep, moments of the out of the activities that she attended where she wished there had been so many more people to have the experience. And that's how I feel. Every year I feel that way, you know. I mean, really, I can't tell you how much hard work goes in, how many hours that I put in, not to mention, you know, other individuals. And just getting the individuals there, you know, the volunteers requires a lot of work. Anyway, we plan, we think, we do, we invite participation, you know, not that we want to plan a plan and lay it on you, we want you to participate in a plan. It's so hard. I don't like saying that people don't want to. They just want to show up at the banquet, maybe, you know? Nobody wants to do the work. Nobody wants to do the cooking. Nobody wants to do the cleaning. Nobody wants to bring in and arrange things. Ugh. Anyway, but it gets done. And for me, I have this saying that the why is so great. You know, we just cannot not work for peace. work for the realizations of people's dreams, not continue the work of those individuals who died, you know, on the line for all of us, equality and all that kind of stuff. We just cannot not do that. So with my wearing out body, I continue to do all that I can. I just feel compelled to do that, you know. I have this calling on my life. So when I was talking to the orthopedic about my shoulder, and by the way, I might have to have a shoulder replacement, he said, "What kind of work do you do?" And I said, "Oh, why? You think I work on the chain gang or something?" He laughed. I said, "I'm a mental health consultant, you know." But I tease myself and I think it's the weight of the world that is wearing my shoulders plumb out, right? Anyhow, I just continue to do what I do. And for this community, I think it's really important, you know? I really do. In this meeting, as in all meetings, I revisited the fact that, you know, now Raleigh, there's, in this area, you've got Raleigh, Cary, and Durham, who actually really orchestrate an MLK celebration of some sort, that, you know, a focus. If I had to order it, it would be Raleigh 1, Cary 2, Durham 3, in terms of the amount of impact we have.
So Cary's ahead of Durham.
Cary's ahead of Durham.
Wow.
In my opinion, Cary is ahead of Durham, okay? Anyway, but now Raleigh has been doing it for almost 30 years, right? But still, you know, you can plan a program, but it's the people who make that program, and the people may or may not be a part of the plan. All the people that showed up, for instance, this year I did walk. I've either been out of the country or I've been sick and I haven't been able to do the walk. We used to try, as I said, we used to try to do a march here in Cary. Maybe we got up to 125 people participating. But it occurred to me some years back, and we talked about it, let's encourage our people here to walk with the Raleigh folk. All right, we've got something going on there. Let's join that effort. So I don't know how many folk, because it's a whole lot of people in Raleigh. But that very first year that I participated, I was just got away with it. I'm there, and that year, one of my board members, he was also my photographer. So, and he must have been 85 years old. I don't know. You had he and me. But we're there, and you know, there's a few people around. But come by close to 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock is the hour together. Hordes of people came out of nowhere, best I could tell. Women pushing their babies in strollers, you know, I mean, walking with purpose. And, you know, not sort of lagging along, but with purpose. And all of these people. I'm telling you, we were just surrounded by folk, and it has grown. Last year it was like 2,000 or more. This year, even with people going to Washington, I think that affected our numbers somewhat. And when I found out that folk were going to Washington, I'm gonna tell you the truth, I said, go. We will be here next year. Go to Washington. But Bruce's outfit in Durham, that we were going, I mean, in Raleigh, we were walking down the street toward the Capitol. It goes from, not toward the Memorial Auditorium, so we walk from the Capitol to Memorial. And as we're walking, and I mean, it was very crowded, I can even show you that on film too. Six buses went up the street, which was very effective too. And there was cameras, you know, all the news people covered the Raleigh march, leaving for Washington. Is that the word we use again? Yes, it was just amazing.
So they were headed for the inauguration.
They were headed for the inauguration. Six buses he was able to get going. And then he had left behind a crowd of us, too, which I thought was just magnificent. And as I'm walking, I look and I think, I recognize those ladies. I used to be a member at Community United Church of Christ, which is a very involved, proactive group of individuals. I mean, you know, that's their mainstay kind of thing. But at any rate, Marge Echols is 96 years old. She was walking. And I thought at that point, let me not open my mouth to make another complaint. I better step it up a gear. Rob tells me, oh, you did fine. I did. Because, you know, that was, I don't walk a whole lot. Can't walk too far. I have lung issues, you know, just all kinds of things. But anyway, while the devil was trying to keep me in the house that day, I did manage to rise above it, go beyond it, and I dressed myself well, you know, because I didn't want to get out there and be cold, and I really didn't know what the weather was going to be like. And I made that trek. Now, if you park on this end, that means you got to walk back, okay? So I walked down, and I walked back, and I want you to know that by the time I got back to my car, I was really winded, and I had worked up a little heat, you know, because I had on all these clothes, and of course, the day got warmer. But at any rate, I felt really good that for this year, anyhow, you know, I'm making it through all the stages, you know, I'm making it to the events, I'm executing, I am doing my part. And in the afternoon, we do service projects. And this year, we the town of Cary and MLK, concentrated on refurbishing trails at Bond Park. Well, I had anticipated more volunteers than we who came, but there were 23 volunteers from the Service for Peace, the kids and the parents, who showed up. And I mean, some, I don't think we're any taller than this, who enthusiastically embraced the wheelbarrows and the shoveling of the mulch.
Mulch.
Into the wheelbarrows and pushing them down the path. I mean, you know, they weren't fooling around. They were really working. And, you know, it wasn't a clean job either. You know what I mean? I mean, they had to get a little dirty. Anyway, they worked and worked and worked to get the job done. I was very happy, very pleased, and just got away with that one. But I felt that they understand the importance of doing service. You know, Martin has a saying that anybody can be great because anybody can serve. That was anybody serving in action, you know. And they did it with cheerful hearts. When he called a halt to it, they were sad. Oh, no, you mean that's all we have to do? I thought, oh, wow. But anyway, my vice president usually has the job every year of what I call doing the begging, you know, because we beg up the food for the reception. That VIP, which is our signature event, we usually have quite a spread, and it's the community. You know, she's made her rounds around the community, etc. And one of the places that she'd asked for a donation was Lowe's Food. They always give such a grand layout, you know. And at the end of the night, she remembers she forgot to pick up.
Oh, no.
Yes. And I mean, they even said, you know, I have to send them written kind of documentation, et cetera, for them to make this decision. Oh, my word. So anyway, I said, well, you know, Sharon, you got to go. I said, maybe you call him. She says, no, I think I'll just show up. Well, when she showed up, she tells me that, oh, she got the dressing down of her life, you know, from this individual. She says, she talked to me just like I was a child, but I apologize. I said, you were the right person to call. However, the moral of the story is we were able to take that blessing and feed these 23 people who had done all of that work.
Aww.
And I thought, that was perfect. We didn't have it here,
but we did have it for this occasion. And so I wrote her a note and I said that by that faux pas, we were able to feed these folk who labored so hard to do a service. So I hope that made up for the fact that, you know, we forgot to pick it up. But Sharon said that her only excuse was that she used two cars. It got to be too big for the little car, and when she switched out, she left her notes behind, so she was going only by memory. And I will tell you that my mind these days is really wearing out, too. You know, I can't keep it all, you know, so you're apt to, without it being written down, I kind of try to keep my notes down. I'm liable to forget something or somebody. Anyway, so we get through 2009. Mm-hmm. By all discussion at the table, we talked about how we can envision making it better. You know, in 2010, we always go there. And all I can say is we have to try. You know, we tried to do that. And in hopes, you know, with high expectations that the world will get the picture and join us, you know, and these events.
Well, now, who are the key players in the African-American community in Cary who participate in all of these events and who are real leaders in the community?
Well,
besides yourself,
besides myself, huh? Let me go to my list. Let's start from, I don't know if you know Sally Jones. Okay, well, Sally makes all of the Dreamfest events. And she did sit at the meeting table, the planning table this year as a representative from that Cary Church, Cary First. She has participated as a Vision United singer. Didn't this year because she's having trouble with blood clots in her legs. And so I understood that. So I said, okay, so I'll let you go this time. But you can come and sit in the chair, you know, and participate in that way, which she did. And she brought two other ladies from her church this time. They didn't sit at the planning table, but they were participants in events. This year, my daughter, who sits on the board, trying to pick out the black folks who support it. But there were more, there are less blacks who take the, these are my words now, who knows, maybe I'm wrong, who rise to the occasion to stick with it. You know, you can't. Oh, Renee Palmer is another supporter. And she was a board member at one point. She hasn't been a board member for a number of years, but she has participated and did participate in this year's events to the extent that she could. She was one of the speakers for the ecumenical. She spoke at the birthday celebration. She had something to bring. Did an excellent job, too. We had an excellent program for that night. Very few people there. If you read the Cary News article, it tells as much. You know, she says, I hope you'll be pleased with this article. But she spoke the truth. And who else? Oh, I have, not everybody's from Cary. The Monica Keel and her daughter, who happens to be a top teen of America, they participated not only in, but also did some scut work. You know, they'd always come in saying, what do you need me to do? That kind of thing. And her husband, they drug him along this year, and he took pictures at the events where he was present. And some others, a lot of them from Raleigh. But from Cary, even on the board, there is a large majority of, now the vice president, both vice presidents, the first and the second, are white. Many of the others who really participate are white. Then we have a Pakistanian, mm-hmm. Mike. He's been supportive over the years since getting involved. He's put his stick and stay. So he's a stick and stay individual. I love that guy. He does. He does his job, you know. I mean, really, he's there. And I hope I'm not leaving anybody. Sherrod has been a supporter. He was our presenter at the African American History Comes Alive at Barnes & Noble's last Saturday. Excellent presentation. I wish you could have been there.
Aww.
Really. There's so much in what his focus for this event, because it was MLK, he has MLK presentations like stamps. He informed us that Martin is on 150 stamps worldwide,
wow.
in 50 states or whatever. And then he had all of that stuff. He had quilts, you know, made beautiful workmanship. And then he had a PowerPoint presentation that he presented, aside from the fact that he has internalized all this information. And Linda Maloof, who is the contact person there at Barnes & Noble, she asked some really good questions. And he was able to just, he didn't have to look up anything. He would say, oh, that was in 1779, and this was that, and, you know, I'm standing there. And I'm going, did you know that? I'm asking. And they said, no. I said, I didn't either, you know. And just the wealth of information that he was able to share. And then he gave everybody this book because he wanted us to be equipped.
African-American, you know? Collector's Guide to Stamp Collecting.
Exactly.
By Sherrod Gresham, Jr.
Exactly.
So this is his own book.
Yeah, his own book. He put it together. He says, you know, he had to learn the hard way. And so he wrote it. He took time to write it down so as to educate us as we think about and embrace that whole process of collecting, you know, information. I thought that was really neat, and I was glad he had that to share with folk.
Yeah.
Dr. Clark supports me. And he participated in the birthday celebration this year, but he is also another sharp man. He knows a lot historically, and he collects African American art from Ghana and I don't want to say the wrong. I think Ghana is one of them. I want to say Nigeria, but I'm not sure. But I do know Ghana for sure is a place, and he has lots of stuff that he has put on display, you know, for some of our exhibits here when we do the, you know, he does the case and et cetera. So he was out this year, and that was really good. We all are beginning to have our health issues, you know, so I was glad that he rose above it and, you know, came to participate. And his being there and the stuff that he had, I think the crux of his talk was, and the bell, not the Liberty Bell, but the bell called Liberty. Because his perspective is, it's not a Liberty Bell if all people aren't free, you know. Heavy. He's so deep. But anyway, he was very well received by those of us who were there and the information he had to share. And over the years, I've always had a lot of good feedback from his talks and his presentations. Anyhow. Oh, and Gwen Johnson, she was present. She's been a supporter. She is also my boss these days.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, we have been friends for over 20-some years. We came into each other's lives because I licensed her facility. She runs an ICFMR in Durham. And so in this relationship, we kind of give ourselves away to each other. For years, I supported her in the Girl Scouts. See, our daughter was growing up, this Leslie person. And for all the years that she was the Girl Scout leader, her mom and I, her mom was the troop leader and I was the associate troop leader. That's a lot of work. Have you ever done that?
No.
It's a lot of work.
Girl Scouts, but yeah.
It's a lot of work. So anyway, we tease each other about that. So
encouraged her to become a board member, you know, as well, and to support the event. So whenever we're having something, I have to tell her, you know, and you got to make sure you mark this date because it's the MLK time again.
Come on, Korea.
That's right. You got to do this. You got to do that. So she was with us this year. And, oh, and we picked up another young lady. What is her name? But I picked her up at one of the events. And she indicated an interest, so I'm hoping that over and for 2010, she'll be able to get in on the beginning plans, planning process, and help us out a lot. What is her name? No, I don't know her name. Anyway. Janet West, that's an African-American person who participated this year. Gerald Hinton, he was our guest of honor.
Talking about him a little bit, what is he?
He's a recording artist, actually. He is.
Okay.
And he does a lot of presentations for nonprofits, you know. Gratis or for a love offering, you know what I'm saying, to help people out doing fundraisings and things like that. But he also has a ministry and through his music is able to do a lot of unifying and stuff like that. So I appreciate that. And he's a good artist. He's really very good. Anyway, every year for, not since the beginning, but at some point we established a guest of honor for the occasion, and the guest of honor actually is to preside over all the events. And if they have some claim to fame, you know, we give them a point. For example, we had an author 1 year, and of course, well, 2 years we've had an author, and they get a chance to do book signings, you know, at the VIP reception or whatever. Anyway, and they're also expected to bring their network, you know, to the events. And that has happened in the past. Last year, our guest of honor was David Manning, who is his main claim to fame these days. He's got lots of fame, but he heads up a travel agency. And we had 150 people from all over the United States who showed up here.
Wow.
Following, you know what I'm saying? When you have an entourage of individuals who follow you, and you know, I have that recorded somewhere too, on all the states who were here, because he was in town and he was doing this event. He never made it to, he was only going to do the 18th, and we had snow, which kicked out the VIP reception. Anyhow. But he was here, and his influence brought a lot of people to this territory, okay? And so it really is, you know, that it's, well, on the one hand, you might say it's a small kind of task, but they're to greet, to welcome, and to just show favor, you know, and definitely, hopefully, bring their network to the event. That's part of what the VIP person does. Oh, Charlene Robinson is an African-American. Where did I meet you? You know, every year, Kwanzaa happens.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I'm involved in one of my peers' events, I always use it as a time to get information out there, but also to build toward DreamFest. And Kwanzaa allows me an opportunity to build toward DreamFest. While I'm sitting at that table and talking to people as they go by, you know, you have to be a little assertive, and you have to reach out to individuals. But this past year, I was able to reach out to over 50 people talking about, don't miss DreamFest 2009. And I was recruiting Vision United singers. I use every opportunity. But, you know, that's just an example of just touching base with them, but collected their information, and so you can, you know, I can send them the program, you know, what's going to be happening. I can be in touch with them.
So I used those opportunities in that way, and Charlene Robinson was one of the persons who I met at that.
That's great.
At the Kwanzaa event, and she participated. Several of the people who came through actually lived through the experience. Some become intimidated by the fact that we don't practice, you know. But I tried to tell these folk that it is not so much a perfect sound that I'm after as the community of people we're able to bring together in a unified effort. And, you know, I believe that we should make a joyful noise. So that didn't necessarily say anything in tune, you know what I'm saying? And really, I have found, you know, like I told you, for 7 years we put on a program and hadn't heard anybody that was perfect. So I think beyond what we do as individuals, my Creator, oh God, watches over it, and He will pull it together. And, you know, even for this rehearsal, maybe we had 20 people. I told you we had 44 at rehearsal. One of my friends went back to her church, and she says, God, it looks so hard. This is a white friend, all right? To make this happen, I think we need to support her. She says the hands went up all over the place, and I had two males in that rehearsal, and come that night, we maybe had the males almost outnumbered the females, you know what I'm saying? So you have not because you ask not, right? And then if you just leave yourself open to the possibility, it will happen. And I was very, very pleased. We did an excellent job with our song. As a matter of fact, I turned to Lyman in meeting and I said, you know, we might should have had the Vision United Singers featured. We should have been the featured performers. That's a thought, yeah? Anyhow, let's see who else is on here. But there are a few of us who make it to the forefront, who do their due. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very, oh, Rolicia, that was her name. That's the person we picked up in this event that has volunteered to participate futuristically. That's really good.
Well, Carolyn, I just want to say thank you so very much for taking your time today to talk to me, to give us this wonderful interview. You just are doing fantastic work for Cary and for the entire area, for all of the community. And we really appreciate knowing about what you're doing, and we appreciate all the efforts that you're making for all of us. So thank you so very much for all of your information today.